Al, Rav Moshe Chaim Litzato, writes in the famous Sefer Mesilas Yesharim, Hakina, he talks about the midah of jealousy, when people are envious of others. He says it's something that is so absurd, it's so nonsensical, it makes no sense at all. Ki ein hamekane marviach klum liatzmo. When I'm jealous and envious of someone else, I have no gain out of doing such a thing. Vegam lo mafsid lemishu hu miskane bo. I also don't make the other person lose. The only one who loses, he writes, is mafsid liatzmo. I just live a life that's bitter. I live a life that's angry. I don't end up gaining anything from these feelings, and I don't end up making the other people lose. Yesh mi, he says, there are some people who are so foolish and absurd. Ad she'im yira lechavera ezatova. If you see that somebody else has something positive in their lives, yis oshesh ba'atzmo ve'yidag ve'yitzdar, you will be so agitated and so troubled by the fact that somebody else is having some success. Ad she'afilu hatova she'biyado lo yehanu, that you cannot even allow yourself to appreciate and enjoy the good things that you have in your own life. He says that's how far people are willing to go. Mitzar mashu rabi al chaver, because you see that somebody else has something that you would like as well, and that takes away your ability to appreciate any aspect of blessing or good in your life. Amnam, he says, yesh acherim, there are other people. She'ena mitzarim v'kovim al kach, they are not as excessive, they're not as extreme as that first category. But afal pikein yargishu ba'atzmam ezetzar, they still feel uncomfortable and they still feel pain and torment over the fact that somebody else is having success. Berosam echad ola ezamayli yisair, when somebody else has a promotion or an advancement in life, they feel uncomfortable with it. Ba'amnam, and they do not know. Lo yedu velo yavinu, what they are missing is ki ena adam nogea b'muchan lachavera afilu kemalei nima. You can be as envious and as jealous as you want. You can try all the different tachbulos, he says, to try and take away from other people, but the Ribono Shel Olam will never allow somebody else's fortune to be taken away because of you, and he will never allow you to have the fortune that wasn't supposed to be deserving to you. And therefore he said, you can make yourself sick over it, you can make yourself crazy, but it's not going to change your fate, and it won't change the other person's fate either. And he quotes a Gemara Maseches Yuma, HaKol Ka'asher Lakol Mehashem, everything is from the Ribono Shel Olam. Everything is kafi atzaso hanifla v'chachmaso habilti nodas. Everything is based on the mysterious calculations that only the Ribono Shel Olam himself understands. Why some people are successful, why others are not. Why some people might have better mazel than others. Lo hayalehem tam leitztar b'tovas re'ehem klal. And therefore, if you come to that understanding, then you will also begin to understand that there's no reason to be upset or uncomfortable when you see the successes or the lifestyle that other people may be enjoying. V'hu mashiyil lanu hanavi alzman ha'asid. He says, the Nevi'im give us many promises about what life is going to look like when we have Mashiach once again, when we have a Beis HaMikdash. And he says, one of the promises is, shelaman tiyah tovas Yisrael shalema, in order that the Jewish people should have the ultimate enjoyable and commensurate experience as Jews, he says, yakdim HaKadosh Baruch Hu lahasir milevaveinu hamida hamaguna hazos. God will make sure to take away jealousy from one Jew to another. That will be the first stage of our geula. And he quotes a pasuk in Sefer Yeshaya that indicates, V'sara kinas Ephraim, V'tzoru re Yehuda yikaresu, Ephraim lo yikane es Yehuda, that the different shvatim, the different tribes, the different factions of the Jewish people will no longer be jealous of one another. Everybody will be proud of the other one, and everyone will be happy with the successes of the other party. So we have a Gemara Maseches Shabbos, where the Gemara tells us, fast forward just a few weeks in the Parsha, when we're going to read about Yosef and his brothers and the terrible tragedy that happened as a result of all of their relationships that developed. So the Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos, Daf Yud, Amar Rava Bar Machasya, Amar Rav Chama Bar Guria, La'olam Al Yishana Adam Bino Bein Habanim. A person should never favor or endorse one child over another. Why? Shebishvil Mishkal Shnei Slaim, Shenasan Yaakov LeYosef, Yosef Mishar Banav, because Yaakov decided mistakenly to favor his son Yosef over the rest of the children, and because of that, says the Gemara, Niskanu Bo Echav, the rest of the Shvatim, as great as they were, developed a sense of jealousy. They were upset over the fact that he was being the favored son. V'Nisgalgel HaDavar V'Yardu Avoseinu LeMitzrayim. And because of that sense of jealousy, because of the feelings that were engendered between the brothers, That is why the entire story of Mitzrayim unfolded, and that is why we had to suffer through that horrible tragedy. You'll say, did God want it? Did He not want it? How could it be? If God didn't want it, how could we get there? It's a good question, but the Gemara says it all started with this horrible feeling that was engendered between Yaakov and the rest of his children as a result of this jealousy that started because he favored one of his children. I mention this because it's clear that jealousy is something that is a horrible midah. It's something that's a very negative character trait. It's destructive. It's damaging. I saw today that the Oxford Dictionary said the word of the year, most commonly used word of the year, was toxic. So jealousy is certainly toxic. It's something that's a terrible thing for us to be involved in. So we come to our parsha, and we have the story of Rachel and Leah. And as they're developing and their families are growing, as we know, Rachel is not able to have children. And the pasuk seems to tell us, Vatikane Rachel va'achosa. Rachel, if you read the psukim, it seems to say, the pshat, that Rachel is jealous of her sister Leah. And it makes sense. Leah is going and having children at ease, and there's no problem at all. And now she sees that she's left behind, and nothing's doing, and she doesn't have any blessing in her life. And she is jealous of her sister. Now it happens to be, Chafetz Chaim points out, something about this medrash that we're about to read. The medrash tells us the following. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Siv, it says, Ayikane libcha bechatayim ki imbiyiras Hashem kalayom. Why are you jealous of another person, says the Medrash? V'at amrit v'atikane Rachel v'achosa. How could it be? Rachel hatzadekes, Rachel imenu, was jealous of her sister Leah. Really, you think Rachel doesn't know the damaging, toxic effects of what it means to be jealous of somebody else? So what does this mean? Says the Medrash, melameid shekin asa b'maaseh hatovim. Rachel says, it's not that I'm jealous that she has children and I don't. Obviously, I'm not so petty. That's not the way I live life. Rather, she says, it must be that my sister is a great tzadekis. It must be that she's reached tremendous spiritual achievements, tremendous heights, and she's been very successful in her relationship with God, and that's why she's been given these tremendous blessings. Had I only been like her, then I also would be able to have them. And that's what she was jealous of. She wasn't jealous of the fact that her sister had more. She was jealous of the fact that her sister had a more positive and meaningful relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam than she did. So the Chafetz Chaim points out, very strange, the Medrash seems to take a pasuk, flip it on its head, and make meaning, a positive meaning, out of something that seems to be a very negative character trait that is described about Rachel Imenu. And yet he says, we look at the psukim by Lavan, and we're told that when Yitzchak and Rivka are going out on their dates, whatever it is, so we're told that Eliezer goes to pick out the wife for Yitzchak. V'Rivka achu shmo Lavan. Rivka has a brother and his name is Lavan. Vayaretz Lavan ala isha chutza. Lavan goes running outside. Sounds like it's a wonderful thing to do. You see out of the corner of your eye that somebody's coming and he's a guest and he has no place to go. So you run outside the house, you invite him in. Isn't that a wonderful, kind gentleman? And yet Rashi says there, no, he was running outside because he knew that he can steal all of his money and he knew he had all kinds of his own intentions. Ask the Chafetz Chaim, how come when it comes to Rachel Imenu, we're willing to take a pasuk, flip it on its head and say, no, it means Rachel was such a wonderful woman and she was such a tzadekes, and therefore this kina that she has over here is really because she's jealous of the spiritual achievement of her sister. And when it comes to the description of Lavan, who seems to be like a wonderful person and he's running out of his way to help someone, all of a sudden the Medrash there goes the opposite direction and says, no, Lavan has all these horrible things in mind. The Chafetz Chaim says it's a very strange thing. How do we know when to interpret a pasuk in Chumash for the positive and when to say something is going in the negative direction? It's a very difficult thing to figure out, but that's clearly something that our pasuk here indicates, something negative about Rachel, and the Medrash tells us that no, it was a positive character trait that Rachel was jealous of her sister's spiritual achievement and spiritual connection with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So in the early 1400s, there was a sefer written, it's an anonymous sefer, the Orchos Tzadikim. It's become a classic in Jewish philosophy and Jewish thought. So he writes about this issue, and he says, even though we all know shehakina himida ra'amiyod, even though we all know that being jealous of other people is a horrible character trait, yesh makom shehitova miyod, there are circumstances in life where it is actually a beneficial, it's constructive, if a person is going to be jealous. V'hi midas ha'elyonim sheyasim kin aso al yiras shamayim. He says, if you have somebody else that you know davens very well, or learns very well, or has a real connection with God that you wish you had, that is a jealousy that a person should look up to. That's something that a person should feel is deficient in their life, because that's something that you have the ability to attain as well. And therefore, he says, quoting Gemara Maseches Baba Basra, that's what we refer to as kinas sofrim tar bechachma. When you have different people who are all striving toward good deeds, toward good things, if one person is going to be a rival of the other, that is a positive kind of enviousness, that's a positive kind of jealousy, and that is something that we would actually encourage, he says, because that is going to push both of them to become better and to become more closely connected and more committed to whatever it is that they are doing. However, he says, sometimes you have a person who is a great Talmud Chacham, a great Tzaddik, a great Jewish leader, whoever it might be, and there are people who are jealous of that person. They're not jealous of the fact that that person has amassed so much Torah knowledge. They're not jealous of the fact that that person has the ability to recall any question that they're asked in any area of Torah. That's not what they're jealous of. They're not jealous of the fact that that person has a Devar Torah on every parsha that's meaningful. It doesn't matter. No. What they're jealous of is that that person has all kinds of recognition and fame, and that person has all kinds of prestige that's bestowed upon them because the community holds them in such an high regard. That is the root of their jealousy, and says the Arches Tzaddikim, that's not kina sofrim, that's not tarba chachma. If a person is jealous of somebody only because of the fame, the recognition that they have, that is not something that's positive at all. So, this is actually a very important question, how far do we take this? And it's a shaila that the Ramah discusses lehalacha. The Gemara says in Maseches Baba Basra that we have this concept of hasagas gavul. If somebody has a business, and another person is going to come and open up another business right next to theirs, there's a major question about whether or not you're allowed to do such a thing. You're taking away the parnasa, you're taking away the livelihood of this individual who had the store first, who had the merchandise first. So obviously there are all kinds of rules and regulations. But the Gemara says, what about if you have a machanech? What if you have a person whose job it is to teach the children of the community? And he's been doing it very effectively for the last number of years. He's the only show in town. And now another person from a neighboring community realizes, hey, there's a big opening there. There's only one person in the whole town. Why don't I come, set up my shingle, set up my shop there, and I'll start teaching as well, and I'll make money. I'll get all the kids to come to my school. Is that something that's permissible or not? Says the Gemara, absolutely permissible. Why? Because kinas sofrim tarba chachma. When you have competition between this teacher and that teacher, maybe it's a good thing, because our children will be the beneficiaries. Our children will end up getting the better education, because now we brought some competition into the discussion, and therefore each teacher realizes they're going to have to up their game a little bit in order to gain the favor of the parents and the students as well. And therefore the Gemara says that would be permissible. The Ramah writes in Yerideya as well as in Choshen Mishpat, Rav HaYoshev Ba'ir, V'lomid L'Rabim, if you have a rabbi in a community, and he's very effectively teaching the community, V'yachol HaChacham Acher Lavo V'lomod Gam Kein Sham, you have another rabbi who says, I don't think that he's doing such a great job. I'm going to move into town. I'll open my own shul and we'll see. Let people decide for themselves. I'm not going to go poaching from the shul and actually telling people to come away from one and go to the other. But I have a right to open my own shul in the same community right down the block and let people make the decision for themselves, says the Ramah. Not a problem at all. Now the Shach qualifies that halacha and he says, not so simple. There are all kinds of guidelines about when it's allowed, when it's not allowed. But in principle, the Ramah says, this would be allowed based on this principle of kinas sofrim tarbe chachma. We as a community will all be the beneficiaries when there is some competition that is put into the mixture as well. There's an extremely famous story about the community in Kharkov in Europe in the end of the 1800s, 1900s. There was a major, major dispute, a controversy that broke out, and I'm not sure why this caught the attention of literally every prominent person in Europe living at the time. So Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan Spector wrote in what he felt about the issue, and the Netziv responded, and Rabbi Elazar Moshe Horowitz, who lived in Pinsk, also responded, and the Netziv was in Valozhin, and everybody was writing from everywhere. Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan Spector lived in, where did he live in? Anybody know? Kovna. He lived in Kovna. So everybody was sending in letters. Every rabbi from everywhere in Europe said what they had to say. What was the issue? There was a community in Kharkov where they had for many years a local kashrus agency. And this kashrus agency were the only ones who gave a hashgacha to all the proprietors in the neighborhood. Aside from that, they also had a list of people who were registered as shochtim in the community, and they were the only ones who used to shecht chickens and meat. All of a sudden, in comes a group of outsiders and they say, we have smicha from this one and from that one, and we are going to start giving kashrus in this community as well, and we are going to start doing shechita on our own. Without the local kashrus agency overseeing what we're doing, we have a right, we are great talmidei chacham, and we know the rules, we know the halacha, we don't need any of this local community politics, we don't need to be involved, we'll make a business for ourselves. And the question was raised, what should the community do? On the one hand, maybe we'll bring down the prices, and maybe it will be beneficial for the community. On the other hand, maybe that's Hasagas Gavul. So is that really something that we would consider to be Kinas So from Tarba Chachma? It is in the realm of Jewish ideas. It's a Shochet and it's a Kashrus agency, but we all know Kashrus agencies are a money-making business as well, and it's not just all L'shem Shamayim all the time. It's not. It's a business like every other. So maybe this is something that goes out of the realm of Kinas So from Tarba Chachma, and it goes into the discussion of Hasagas Gavul. So Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan led the charge at the time, and as we said, all the Gedolim followed him. Rabbi Meir Shapiro wrote in that he also buttressed the feelings of Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, and the Netziv also followed suit. Rabbi Lezer Moshe Hurwitz, everybody responded that they said, you don't have a right to buy meat from this new shochet who moved into town, and you don't have a right to eat anything that's under their hashgacha. And he said, as far as I'm concerned, anybody who eats it is ki'ilu ochel nevelus utreifus. Not only do we say, al pi chosha mishpat, that by business laws you don't have a right to buy from such a person, but he says, if you buy it, you're violating a problem in Yana Yeredeya. It's as if you're eating treifa meat, because he said, who said a person who violates such averas like this, a person who violates the communal standard of the local kashrus agency that we've always trusted and we've always had in this community, who said that we should trust such a person? If they're willing to go against everything that we stand for, who said we should trust them when it comes to the laws of kashrus or shchita either? And therefore they all came out clearly that this was something that was not acceptable. So it's not such a clear parameter to draw about when we say kina sofrim is allowed and when perhaps it is not, but it's something that's a very fascinating issue. Sometimes kina could be something that's a horribly toxic and negative character trait, but sometimes it's something that can really push us forward and do something very positive for the community as a whole. Rabbi Hanani ben Akasha Omer.